Hello, everybody, and welcome to Get Lit Minute, your weekly podcast for all things poetic, poetry, and poets. This series is produced by Get Lit Words Ignite, a nonprofit organization that uses poetry and spoken word to increase literacy and empower young people. My name is Jasmine Minchez, and in this podcast, we focus on the lives, history, and works of classic and modern-day contemporary poets. This episode will focus on Jamaican-American writer Claude McKay, a central figure of the Harlem Renaissance. His work celebrated peasant life in Jamaica, showing great pride in his heritage and giving insight into the Black experience in both Jamaica and America during the 1920s. With his unique and prominent voice, McKay fought against racial inequalities and sought to better understand one's intellectual duality, which he found to be an integral part of dealing with a racist society. Claude McKay, born Festus Claudius McKay in 1889, grew up in Sunnyville, Jamaica, as the son of poor farmers Thomas Francis and Hannah Ann Elizabeth. McKay took pride in his family background and culture. His older brother, Uriah Theodore, was a teacher and owned a library of English novels, poetry, and scientific texts. It was under his brother's guidance and that of an Englishman, Walter Jekyll, that McKay discovered his love for English poetry. He studied British poetic masters such as John Milton and Alexander Pope, and European philosophers such as Arthur Schopenhauer. At 17, McKay left Sunnyville to apprentice as a woodworker in Brownstown. His stay was brief, as soon as he went to work in Kingston, the Jamaican capital. However, McKay did not stick around Kingston long either due to the racist environment he encountered there. McKay was not used to dealing with such extreme racism in Sunnyville. Kingston was considerably white, and many of its citizens saw Black people as inferior and only able to complete basic tasks. Upon leaving Kingston, McKay returned to Sunnyville. Walter Jekyll encouraged McKay to publish the poetry collections Songs of Jamaica and Consta Ballads. These two collections portray opposing aspects of Black life in Jamaica. Songs of Jamaica depicts a more celebratory portrait with poems that include themes of peaceful death and the strong tie between Black people and Jamaican land. The collection asks white readers to question their privilege and consider its dependency on controlling Jamaica's Black community. It is also the first of its kind by being the first published collection written in Jamaican patois. Consta Ballads, the second volume, presents a more distressing perspective, with poems critical of Kingston and the racist climate McKay witnessed while living there. Songs of Jamaica earned McKay an award and stipend from the Jamaican Institute of Arts and Sciences. He decided to use the money he received to pay for his first trip to America. Later that year, McKay touched ground in South Carolina before making his way to Alabama, where he enrolled in the Tuskegee Institute. He studied there for 2 months before transferring to Kansas State College. However, 2 years later in 1914, McKay decided to leave school entirely and move to New York City. Unfortunately, just like in Kingston, McKay encountered many different forms of racism in New York. His experiences, rather than discouraging him, highly motivated McKay to continue writing. During this time, McKay worked hard to get his work published in literary journals such as Pearson's Magazine and The Liberator. He soon became friends with The Liberator's editor, Max Eastman, who helped McKay publish many poems in the magazine, including the famous piece, If We Must Die, published in 1919, defends Black people's rights and calls for resistance against oppression. Many see the piece as a battle cry for strength and courage against the people and systems that stand in the way between the Black community and human rights. In Black Poets of the United States, John Wagner noted that, "If We Must Die transcends specifics of race and is widely prized as an inspiration to persecuted people throughout the world." Wagner wrote, "It voices also the will of oppressed people of every age who, whatever their race and wherever their region, are fighting with their backs against the wall to win their freedom." In 1917, McKay published two sonnets titled The Harlem Dancer and Invocation. Using the sonnet form became very common for McKay when writing about his social and political concerns as a Black man in America. As an avid traveler, McKay spent some time in Holland and Belgium in 1919 before moving to London, where he worked on the newspaper Workers' Dreadnought. In 1922, Claude McKay returned to the United States and published his third collection, Spring in New Hampshire, which contains the famous poem, Harlem Shadows. The poem is about the experiences of Black prostitutes in Harlem as they struggle to earn enough to sustain themselves. McKay paints a picture, serious in tone, of these sex workers who had different dreams than becoming a prostitute, yet feel and know that they must continue to make a living. McKay reflects on the bleak circumstances of Black sex workers in Harlem during the 1920s while showcasing their grit, persistence, and strength. McKay's commitment to social justice inspired an interest in communism starting in the 1920s once he began working in London. His early years working for Workers' Dreadnought and the Workers' Socialist Federation heavily shaped his belief that the struggle against capitalism could help lead the way to freedom and liberation for minorities. In 1922, he spoke at the Fourth World Congress of the Communist International held in Russia. Soon after in Paris, McKay developed a severe respiratory infection and was hospitalized for some time. After he recovered, he resumed his traveling for 11 years. From the end of the 1920s to the beginning of the 1930s, McKay traveled to the Soviet Union and then throughout Europe and North Africa. He published Home to Harlem, one of his most famous and recognized works, in 1928. The novel follows a protagonist, Jake, a black soldier who abandons his military position and returns to his home in Harlem, where he falls in love with a prostitute. Jake desperately tries to rebuild his life after participating in World War I, and by doing so, showcases many issues related to the struggle of belonging in America as a black citizen. After witnessing racism throughout the world, especially in London, Jake's move to Harlem is an attempt not only to look for romantic love, but also for the connection and acceptance that comes with living in a black community. In many ways, Jake represents a new type of humanity and heroism, as well as our ability to remain true to our feelings and dreams. Alongside Jake is the other protagonist, Ray, a struggling writer who is ridden with sadness and feelings of failure. Many critics saw Jake and Ray as characters who each represented their own unique way of rebelling against Western civilization. In 1929, the Harmon Foundation Award for Distinguished Literary Achievement was presented to Claude McKay for his work in Home to Harlem and Harlem Shadows. My Green Hills of Jamaica, a collection of short stories published in 1922, was another success for McKay. It again depicted the chilling divisions of New York at the time, which proved to be popular among readers, as the book gained acceptance as the first successful novel written by a black writer. Banana Bottom, published in 1933, was McKay's third novel. This book explores McKay's ideas surrounding black individuals' journey for cultural identity in the presence of a racist society. The story follows a character, Beta, a peasant girl living in Jamaica. Throughout the story, she is adopted by a white Christian family and has to endure many cruel experiences like sexual assault, the forced practice of Christianity, and an arranged marriage to a horrible man. However, Beta runs away and leaves white society. Ultimately, she marries a lovely man with whom she raises a child in an idealized Jamaican setting. Many critics agree that Banana Bottom is Claude McKay's most accomplished telling of a black individual's predicament in an oppressive white society. That said, the novel was unsuccessful upon release and did not gain its title as McKay's finest fiction writing until many years later. By the 1930s, McKay had gained an interest in Catholicism as he sought answers to the questions of justice and charity he had been asking throughout his work and whole life. His friend Ellen Terry introduced him to the Harlem Friendship House, where he became an active member. Themes of faith and courage interwoven with stories of racial tension and social struggle are a hallmark of McKay's work, as felt in several of his essays, poems, and novels. Gingertown, written in 1932 during McKay's final year abroad, is another memorable novel, divided into 12 short tales, half of which are devoted to Harlem life, with the remaining stories set in Jamaica and North Africa. McKay returned from his travels and chose America as his final home, where he lived until he passed in 1948. McKay died of heart failure in Chicago, Illinois, at the age of 58. His legacy continued and still continues even after his death. In 1977, the government of Jamaica named Claude McKay the national poet and awarded him the Order of Jamaica for his contribution to literature. In 2009, a manuscript written by McKay titled Amiable with Big Teeth, a novel of the love affair between the communists and the poor black sheep of Harlem, was published posthumously. The novel focuses on an often disregarded piece of American history, the people of Harlem's efforts during the 1930s to help organize support for the liberation of fascist-controlled Ethiopia. Present themes include social anxieties, romance, bigotry, and the hopes and dreams of black Americans in Harlem. The poem we will be taking a closer look at today is I Know My Soul from McKay's book, Harlem Shadows. The poem holds themes of self-reflection, faith, and identity. The personal and spiritual nature of the poem allows these themes to work harmoniously within the sonnet form. The poet teaches its reader that when ruminating on oneself, it is important to remain honest and optimistic. Questioning ourselves and our desires is no easy task. So McKay writes, if the sign may not be fully read, to emphasize the way our own thoughts and actions may be partial mysteries, even to ourselves, never fully understood or interpreted. Yet putting in the effort to be honest with ourselves is how we will find peace and acceptance in our minds. The poem begins with a metaphor in a voice that says that they have plucked my soul out of its secret place and held it to the mirror of my eye. The speaker explains that it is attempting to hold a mirror to its soul to examine itself, exposed, with a voice that is passionate in its willingness to dig deep. McKay uses insightful imagery and metaphors to elicit scenes in the mind of its audience. Like many of McKay's other poetic works, he creates gentle rhymes to add emotion and music to his message, such as a twitching body quivering in space, a spark of passion shining on my face. The poem is an advocate for forcing ourselves, even when it's uncomfortable, to take the time to challenge what we think we know about ourselves and ask bigger questions. Even if we do not know the answers, perhaps we can feel them. We can comprehend the heart and soul behind the actions we cannot control, and in knowing ourselves, we know hope and comfort. The poem attempts to leave its readers motivated to worry less about the world they cannot control and take time to find happiness within themselves by searching for the thoughts, desires, needs, and passions that influence each person. This is I Know My Soul by Claude McKay. I plucked my soul out of its secret place and held it to the mirror of my eye to see it like a star against the sky, a twitching body quivering in space, a spark of passion shining on my face, and I explored it to determine why this awful key to my infinity conspires to rob me of sweet joy and grace, and if the sign may not be fully read. If I can comprehend but not control, I need not gloom my days with futile dread, because I see a part and not the whole. Contemplating the strange, I'm comforted by this narcotic thought. I know my soul. Get Lit Minute is a production of Get Lit Words Ignite. This podcast is created by Samuel Curtis, produced by Sophia D'Annunzio, and executive produced by Diane Luby Lane. The episodes this season were researched and written by Get Lit Poets and edited by Mila Kuda. Josh Castillo is our engineer, and our digital editor is Blake Emerson. Special thanks to the entire Get Lit staff and donors who make this work possible, the teachers who use this podcast to educate their students, and to all students of life everywhere for tuning in and spending time with us today. If you want to hear more, check out the rest of our episodes on our website, getlit.org. That is GETLIT.ORG. See you there.